All right, good evening, Saints. This is the Monday Night Upper Room. Lowell is out with his wife, and they're celebrating their anniversary. So we're going to be filling in, and we'll be doing Numbers 10, 1 through 10. So let's pray and get into it. Father, thank you that we can gather, that we can meet and spend time in your word, Lord, that we can see you more clearly, that we can mine your word and find nuggets for us to apply to our lives today, Lord. And so we lift up this time, we lift up Lowell and his wife, Lord, that you would encourage them, that you would invigorate them, that you would restore them, and that you would renew them so that the time would be profitable, they would come back just filled with you and filled with a greater love and appreciation for each other. And Lord, would you bless tonight? Would you bless those who hear your word. We know that whenever your word is open, that you are speaking. So please help us to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so tonight, Numbers 10 little verses. So, okay, we have an hour. So I think that's 10 minutes a verse. I think we should be able to do that. All right. So I'm not going to do Lowell's thing because that's his teaching. I don't have his recap for the entire book. So instead, we're just going to go back a little ways. In beginning in chapter 9, the Lord sets the sequence of time. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they'd come out of the land of Egypt. All right. So we know the Lord brings them out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea. The Egyptian army is taken care of. They go wandering to Sinai. They have all the things that are going on at Sinai. And now you've had the giving of the commandments. You've had the golden calf incident. You have the command to build the tabernacle and all of its elements. And they're now at a year. And the Lord says, okay, let's go and celebrate the Passover. And then I love the fact that in that, the Lord then makes provisions for the things that, for when we can't. So in verse 1 of chapter 9, we set the stain, the Lord talks to Moses. In verse 9, the Lord again speaks to Moses to address the issue that they had. And then we get to verse 15 of chapter 9, and we go from talking about the Passover to talking about the tabernacle, the cloud and fire, and the way that the people are led. We then get to our verse 1 of chapter 10, and the Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, make yourself two trumpets of silver. And it's funny, it's like we go from, let's talk about the Passover. Real quick, just an aside, verse 15 to 23 is basically an aside of like, it's filling in, now we filling in information of how they were led, of the tabernacle, the building of the tabernacle, the cloud and the fire. And then we get to go make trumpets. So we know that the chapters and verses were put in later. So it's kind of, you know, verse chapter 9, verses 1 through 14 are kind of their own little section. And then 15 through 23, and then 10, 1 through 10 are, to me, after reading it, it kind of, that seems like they fit because you go from verse 1 of chapter 9 says it's the first month of the second year after they come out of the land of Egypt. And then we go to verse 11 of chapter 10. Now in the second year, we've established that, in the second month. Okay, so we've had a month pass. So that's where the from verse 15 to verse 10, that's where that occurs. So with that, we know that the book of Numbers starts off, the Lord commands Moses and Aaron to go and number the people. And the reason they're numbering them is we need to find out how many men we have who are able to go to war, right? So with that understanding, when we get to chapter 10, it's go make for yourself, verse 2, make for yourself two trumpets of silver. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and breaking camp. So So in that, we now understand, okay, I need you to go make two trumpets. The purpose of this is you're going to summon the congregation and break camp. And then everything else kind of comes out after this. You're either summoning the people and you're making, using the trumpets to make things for the people, to either summon them or to break camp and to go get ready to go. So in that, we now understand why you have verses 15 to 23 of chapter 9. The Lord is explaining, hey, here's the context in which for a year we've led the people. The people came out, and I led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, right? So now, while we're doing that, now I want trumpets, because if you're going to war, if you're starting to make military movements, it's not supposed to be slipshod. It's not supposed to be, all right, folks, let's get moving, right? So by doing that, it's going to make things a little more orderly. We know that the Lord likes order. But tonight, you know, because Lowell already taught on 15 to 23, and this whole thing is kind of a section. It's kind of nice. It frees me to kind of focus just on these couple of verses. And so the first thing that I wanted to do is, God told Moses to make two trumpets of silver, right? So, and they're supposed to be hammered. But in the beginning of verse 15, it starts talking about the tabernacle. So what I actually want to do tonight is I want to go back to the tabernacle. Okay, so if you will, turn to Exodus 25. We're going to start there. And it's important, you know, the tabernacle is still important today, right? So in Hebrews 8, in verse 4 and 5, now if he were on earth, or speaking of Jesus, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things by the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. And that is, when you get into Exodus 25, is what the Lord says. In verse 8, have them construct a sanctuary for me so that I may dwell among them according to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, so you shall construct it. Right? And then he goes in and lays out how he wants it to go. In Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things having come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption. And then in verses 23 and 24, therefore it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these things. Not the things in heaven, they don't have to be, but the copies that we have on earth. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made by hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And finally, Revelation 21. Mm-mm. So, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear. And so but the tabernacle is still important. It's still essential too, because it's, even God is saying the tabernacle is going to be amongst his people. And the word tabernacle is to dwell among. So Jesus is the tabernacle. It's the picture. And so verse 9 of chapter 25 of Exodus, you know, the reason that it's so important that everything is made exactly the way that he says is it's a picture of Jesus, and I don't want you to change it. You know, it's the reason that, you know, when you speak to the rock, you know, when you go to the rock the first time, you can strike it because Jesus was struck once. So the second time you go to the rock, you're supposed to speak to the rock. And the reason that Moses got in so much trouble is because he struck it. And he's like, whoa. And we know that he was struck once for our sin, and then he wasn't supposed to be struck twice. So what we're going to do tonight, starting in verse, going back to verse 3 of Exodus 25, this is the contribution which you are to take from them: gold, silver, and bronze. And then I want to do this because I want to establish kind of a couple things. There's the type of metal, silver, the fashioning of the metal, the hammered, and then the distinction between the trumpets. Because the truth is God is not a God of disorder. We know that in 1 Corinthians 14, he is not disorderly. You know, he wants all things to be decently and in order. He doesn't want confusion in the church. So over and over, God says exactly, this is what I want. And he makes distinctions of those. The first thing that he does is he separates dark from light, night from day, male and female, he made them. Over and over, it's distinction. So he says, I want this. I want three metals. I want gold, I want silver, and I want bronze. Now, unfortunately, I actually made a really big picture of the tabernacle, and I left it at home. So I apologize for that. But it is, because I was going to point all these things out, but in your head, just, you know, I need you to picture all of these things, because in all of them, there is, God has set all of these things for a reason. So there's going to be a lot of scanning and a lot of just moving your finger down the page. So I apologize for that, but hopefully at the end, it's all going to be good. I told Lowell before that we're going to talk about metals and I'm going to geek out. He's like, go ahead, geek out. So I apologize that he's not going to be here, so he doesn't have to endure it. So, all right. So in verse 10, beginning with the construction of the ark, he talks about the acacia wood. And then in verse 11, you shall overlay it with pure gold, right? In verse 12, you shall also cast four gold rings. And then when you get down into verse 18, you have the cherubim, and that's supposed to be hammered gold. So we're introduced to overlaid, in which they're going to take, whether it's the acacia boards, whatever article it is, and they're going to actually cover that in gold, whether they dip it, whether they just, you know, pour it over and it collects over that. So that's one way of doing it. It's overlaid. It's covered. The gold has covered the other substance. The second one is it's cast, right? So you make a mold and you pour it into there. And the third is it's actually hammered, where you actually have to take the gold and you begin to hammer it and mold it and shape it and fashion it. And you, through an artisan, begin to mold and craft and to shape this thing into whatever it is. So there's so many elements of all this. I don't want to get too sidetracked, but in all of those, there are elements of all of those things in salvation, that we are covered, that we are cast into places, and then that we are hammered and molded and shaped and fashioned. Again, the tabernacle and the pictures and the symbolism inside of it are, you could go through it over and over and over and only mine some of the ore in there, the gold, the silver, it wasn't Freddy. All right. So we have, beginning in verse 10, we have the ark is overlaid in gold. We have all the rings are cast in gold. You will have the poles are overlaid in gold. The cherubim are hammered gold. So everything that you have inside, and that's, you're making the Holy of Holies, right? All of the boards, as you get into it, the table of showbread is going to be overlaid with pure gold, and a gold border is going to be fashioned around it. You'll make a gold border for the rim of that. You'll also make four gold rings, so those are going to be cast for the rings on the four corners, which are for the four legs. The rings, you're going to have the acacia wood poles, verse 28, and those will be overlaid with gold. And then you're going to make all the dishes, verse 29, its pans, its jars, and its libation bowls, which will with which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me continually. The golden lampstand, verse 31, which we saw again in chapter 8 of Numbers. You're going to make the lampstand of pure gold. The lamp, its base, and its shaft are to be of hammered work. So again, you know, this tying into Lowell's teaching of that 2 weeks ago, and that was really good, of like the fact that it started with how you're forming and fashioning the lamp, that the lamp is the word of God, that it's a light under your feet, that and yet in that the Levites and the ministers who are proclaiming the word of God, that they are being formed and fashioned and hammered and molded and prepared, right? It's not cast, it's not overlaid, you're not just being covered, but it's God molding, forming, shaping you into the design that he wants, right? So, and then you go through all of the things of the lampstand, and when you get to chapter 26, you're going to make all of the, when you're making all of the curtains, you're going to end up making all of the golden loops that are going to be on there. Verse 6 of chapter 26, you shall make 50 clasps of gold and join the curtains. So everything inside the Holy of Holies is gold. Okay, so it's important. We've now figured out gold is in the Holy of Holies, and that's the only thing that's there. And then you're going to make curtains of goat hair. So when you do that, you're going to have the initial Holy of Holies, and that's covering. And then over the top of that, you have the curtains of goat hair, right? And those are going to be joined together. And you then get to the next metal in verse 11 of chapter 26. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze. Okay, got a different metal. But it's not inside the Holy of Holies. It's just outside of it. Now, what color is bronze? It's golden colored. It's not bright gold like that bright yellow of gold, but it's a darker goldenish color. And that's the first time that you get something different. Not in the Holy of Holies, but just outside, right? And then as you go down, you're going to get the boards and the bases in verses 15 through 30. These are now actually going to be the boards that are making up the holy place, right? So in there, all of the boards are overlaid in gold. And now in verse 19, you're going to make 40 bases of silver. All right. And then as you go through, so everything is overlaid in gold inside of the Holy of Holies. Everything in the rest of, in the holy place, because you have the two compartments, everything there is overlaid in gold, made of gold, except for the brass fittings for the holding the larger curtain, and then all of the other, the layers that go around it. And then you have silver at the base. Right? So once you work your way out of there, the next thing that they go to is verse chapter 27, you go right to the bronze altar. And there you have you make everything of wood, and then you're going to overlay all of that with bronze. You're going to make all of its, verse 3, you should make its pails for removing its ashes, its shovels, its basins, its forks, and its fire pans. You should make all its utensils of bronze. You're going to make a grating and a netting of bronze. You're going to make rings of bronze so that you and have carrying poles, and those are going to be overlaid with bronze. So everything about the bronze altar is going to be made of bronze. And then in the courtyard, so now you are outside of that, you're going to end up having all of the boards that go around the courtyard, and the bases of those is going to be bronze, but all of the bands that hold them together are going to be silver. And then all of the hooks are going to be silver, and on the hooks is going to be linen. Okay. So each of those represents something. Now gold represents purity. It represents the king. It's used for God and for his glory. Okay? That's the reason that the Holy of Holies is all gold. There's nothing else in there but gold as far as the metals. Bronze, which is the next one, is kind of a golden color, and it's tempered. So it's copper mixed with tin, and you end up getting a stronger metal, right? And so bronze stands for strength, purification, and judgment, which is why, and then they don't show it here, but later on in Exodus, they actually talk about building the bronze laver so that you can wash and everything in that. So, but in this, and then you have silver. Silver addresses redemption or atonement, right? And over, when you look through the Psalms, silver is always talking about being purified, about skimming the dross, right? So gold is for God. Gold is going to represent God. Bronze is going to represent the strength of God or God's judgment. It's golden in color, but it's applied to men. And then silver is always going to apply to men. It's funny. So when you see that, and the reason that this is important is because when you see these in scriptures, there's a reason. There's a reason it's this metal. There's a reason it's this article. There's a reason it goes this way. God, you know, like it's one of those where, you know, after Lowell finished on teaching on Numbers 8, you know, we talked about just, you know, the hammered work, and that Jesus was hammered, that he was beaten, that it was all of these things. And there's a reason that they build it this way, that they overlay it, that they cast it, that he has a reason and a design for each of these things to be made that way. So, and God always makes a distinction. You know, if to some he gave to be apostles, to some he gave to be prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, right? So everybody has different gifts. Everybody has different everything. So nothing is random. God has planned it and made it to be that way. So even in the trumpet, he told them to make, I want you to make two trumpets out of hammered silver. All right, So in this, and that's actually, if you go and look back at the tabernacle and you look at those, there's only gold in the holy place. There's no gold in the outside in the courtyard. And there's no gold that is seen. You can't see the gold from outside unless you open the tent flap, and then you can see in and see a reflection of things shining the gold out. But otherwise, that gold is hidden. Right, and the gold doesn't touch the ground. Which part of the board? What metal is on the ground, inside the holy place? Silver. So you have God. Everything is surrounded, and yet in that, in God's contact with the earth, it is through silver. It is through redemption. It is through an atoning work. It's designed to be that way. And you don't have silver outside. What's the post? What's the base for all of the boards outside for the courtyard? It's bronze. Well, why is that? Because you're entering a holy place, but inside that holy place, what's going on in there? What's the purpose of that tabernacle courtyard? As soon as you walk in, you're going to come through the gates, and what do you enter? What's the first thing that you see? You see the altar. What occurs on the altar? That's where the sacrifice is made. So you have, it's a symbol of judgment and of that process going on. The altar is a symbol of Jesus. And then you have the next thing that you would see, you have the tables on the side where the priests are preparing the sacrifices, but everything is going on to the altar where it is burned up to the Lord. The next thing you have is you have the bronze laver where the priests would then go and wash and cleanse themselves. So you have the blood is there in the altar, in the laver, you have the washing of the word and all of that. And then you go into the presence of God, right? So in there, you have all of the, and then in the outside courtyard, you have all of the bands of silver holding everything together. So it's that redemptive work that's holding everything together, and your hooks of silver, which hold up the linen. Linen is a symbol of, that's what the priests are supposed to wear. That redemption is holding up that work and that priesthood and that everything. So it's actually an amazing picture if you stop and really go through and look at it of like, and everything that's there, God did for a reason. So that you can see his redemptive work, so that you can see Jesus, so that we can look and be like, oh wow, Lord, you really thought of everything. And you really do have all of these distinctions. Okay. So with all of that, right, and even in, I want to turn real quick to 2 Samuel chapter 6. So in this, right, God made a distinction. How are you supposed to carry the ark? So in 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verses 2 and 3, David departed from Baal Judah and with all the people who were with him to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of armies who is enthroned above the cherubim. They had mounted the ark of God on a new cart and moved it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. Okay. All right. David is bringing the ark to Jerusalem. He wants the presence of God there with them, and he puts it on a new cart. God doesn't get an old cart. That other things, we're getting a brand new cart that's made solely for God, and we're going to stick it in there. Sounds good. Except that is not how God prescribed things to go. Now you get to verse 6. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it because the oxen nearly overturned it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place has been called Perez Uzzah to this day. All right. So God has distinctions of how he wants things to go. I want the tabernacle to be built this way. Don't change it. Don't do this. I'm giving you my word. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. Don't modify things. I am God. I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. You don't understand. You know, they didn't understand at the time. We can look back and be like, oh my gosh. The reason the tabernacle was so important, it's not just this thing. it's a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of what is in heaven and that coming down. And God doesn't want that tainted, right? So back to Numbers 10. Now that we've done that, so now we can get into this and say, okay, so the Lord spoke further to Moses saying, make yourself two trumpets of silver. I don't want you to make two trumpets of bronze. You're not calling the people. What are you calling the people to if you're making it out of bronze? What was the bronze serpent for? Judgment and purification. I'm not calling the people to judgment and purification. I'm calling them to, what are the two things that it says? I want you to use the trumpet to summon the congregation and break camp. You're not going to make it of gold because gold is of God. It's not, you're not calling God, you're calling people, right? So I know it's simple, but it actually is pretty profound. And not only that, but it's, how does he want it made? I don't want it cast. I don't want you to make a mold and just make a pour it over and make a tube. I don't want you to overlay it and then form and fashion it. I want you to pound it out. I want you to take the bars and I want you to mold these into the shape. I want you to mold it. I want you to work it. Right? So the symbolism of that, again, kind of like what Lowell was talking about when we were addressing the golden lampstand, it's a picture of the giving of the word of ministry. So what's the purpose of the trumpets? To project out to the people. Right? So in what we do as believers, isn't the Lord working and forming and fashioning and sometimes hammering on us so that what comes out of our mouth is redemptive? What comes out of our mouth is edifying and is what's needed for the people. All right, so in this, and then he also makes a distinction of the trumpets. There's two types of trumpets in Scripture, right? So this is where we're introduced to, I want you to go and form and fashion a metal trumpet. And that trumpet is to be of silver, of hammered silver. Okay. The other type of trumpet that they're supposed to use is a ram's horn, the shofar. Right? So, and again, with those distinctions, they're very different. They're used for different things. So the shofar, the first time we see that is in Exodus 19 and 20. And that is where the people are before God in at the base of Mount Sinai, where they hear the rumblings and the thunderings and everything, and there's the ram's horn blowing, and the people are afraid, right? The shofar, the ram's horn, whenever you see that, that is a picture of the voice of God. That is divine working its way onto the earth. The metal trumpet, mined from the earth, is to men alone. Now, later on in celebrations, and we're going to get into this, I guess we can do that now. So when you make the silver trumpets, you shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and breaking camp. Verse 3 of chapter 10. Now when both are blown, all the congregation shall meet you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if only one is blown, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall meet you. And when you blow an alarm, the camps that are pitched on the east side shall set out. Then when you sound an alarm the second time, the camps that are pitched on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be sounded for them to break camp. When convening the assembly, however, you shall blow the trumpet without sounding an alarm. The sons of Aaron, moreover, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And this shall be a permanent statute for you throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the enemy who attacks you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, so that you will be thought of by the Lord your God. and be saved from your enemies. Also, on the day of your joy and at your appointed feasts and on the first days of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be as a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Okay. So everything that happens with the metal trumpets is by men, for men, and even in what they're doing, it's like it's our celebration and we're reminding God. When we go to war, we're letting God know, hey, we're going to war, right? And it's to alert him of like, hey, this is our thing, God. Okay, and honestly, the picture here, I really enjoy this because this is where it ties back into the verses of 15 to 23. You know, we know that in Numbers, they're going out to war. Hey, make a trumpet. Because we need order in the ranks so that when we're getting ready to go, it helps get the people organized to set out more orderly, right? But ultimately, it's God who moves them, right? So in this, they're supposed to use the metal trumpets to call the congregation, to break the congregation, to start their feasts, to go for certain festival days, to be blown for some of their offerings, right? And it's all to remind God. It's men going to God, right? And the distinction, and that's the distinction. It's men to God. The shofar is God to men. And I just kind of want to finish this. So in that, it starts, the first time it's said is in Exodus 19 and 20. The next time that you see it is in Leviticus 25, where God says, for the day of atonement, you're going to blow this. Okay, so you have, when all of this occurs and the day of atonement, you're going to sound the voice of God. The next time that it comes out is in Joshua chapter 6. So if you want, we can turn there. So in Joshua chapter 6, you have everybody is gathering and they're getting ready to go take Jericho. And in verse 4, chapter 6, verse 4, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. And on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. The next time you see it is when they actually do this. They go, they do it, the seven ram's horns, the seven priests, they blow it, the walls fall down, right? And again, the picture of that is it isn't men who did this. The command of God broke the walls, and there was a rout of the city, right? You see it in, the next time is in the book of Judges. You have Ehud. Anybody know Ehud? The left-handed Benjamite who kills King Eglon while he's going to the bathroom. And then Gideon. Gideon blows, he's not blowing metal horns, he blows the ram's horn. And it so disorients everybody that they run around and they end up killing themselves, right? It wasn't the men, it wasn't a victory or a battle of men that won. Gideon is solely God. And so it's, you know, like, and I know it sounds, it might seem over and over in the Old Testament, they talk about trumpets, but you need to actually go and figure out which word they're using. Is it the ram's horn or is it the metal horn? And when you look at that, you're like, oh my gosh, I see it's not just every trumpet. Specifically this trumpet, I'm going to see these results. When I see the ram's horn, I know that's of God and he's doing it. When I see the metal one, that is directed with men. Now, and I want to pause real quick. In Exodus chapter 20, because this is the distinction. In Exodus chapter 20, you have the giving of the Ten Commandments. And then in verse 22 through 25, God makes a distinction. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is what you shall say to the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen that I have spoken to you from heaven. You shall not make other gods besides me, gods of silver or gods of gold. You shall not make for yourselves. You shall make an altar of earth for me, and you shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. And if you make an altar of stone for me, you shall not build it of cut stones. For if you wield your chisel on it, you will profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar so that your nakedness will not be exposed on it." All right. So, who made the ram's horn? God. Who made the dirt? God. Who made the stones? God. God uses his things for him. We hammer, form, fashion, everything else, and we mine and purify the ore. The metal is for us. The silver is for us. The gold and all of that is for God. He makes a distinction. So the bronze, the brazen altar, the bronze altar, who's that for? It's gold because it's God's judgment and it's God's purifying work. It's God's strength that's doing that, but it's for us. That's why it's not gold. It's bronze, right? So in this, and I know it's just funny of like, I don't want you to, my altar is going to be for me and I want it to be of earth. Or of, you know, when they built the temple, they were not allowed to go and bring in stone and hammer it and chisel it and everything else. If they had to quarry it or do any work, that was done in the quarry. And then you brought the finished stone there so that there wasn't the sound of hammer or chisel anywhere in the temple when they built it, when Solomon had it built, right? So now again, we see distinctions of metal. They all have a purpose. The way that you fashion it, it all has a purpose. You see that, you know, God makes a distinction of the horns. One of them is of God, and it is him proclaiming things, and one of them is for men, right? So now we get back to, go back to Numbers 10. And tying this back into what Lowell was talking about last week in verses 15 to 23. And that was a really good teaching. And I appreciated the fact of the care that he took to go over, like, God moves, and whether it's you've been there for a day or you've been there for a week or you've been there for a month, you've been there for many months, you're supposed to be attentive. When you look at chapter 9, I want you guys to celebrate the Passover, but a problem comes up. What's the problem? Lord, I'm unclean. I touched a dead person. And now I can't take the Passover, but like that, then I'm not part of Israel. What do I do? Not a problem. If you need to make every effort to do the Passover, but if you can't, because you're unclean, because you're traveling and you're in a place and you just can't do it, not a problem. On the next month, make sure you make this and then you can do it. I have provision for you. I've given you a statute. But I know that sometimes you can't. Sunday mornings in my home, like every other day of the week, if we want to go have fun, if we want to, and I'm not saying church isn't fun, but in that, Sunday mornings and getting everybody up and getting everybody going, the spiritual battle, the everything else, it's every week, every Sunday we get up and we go to church. But it's one of those where it's more difficult on that day, right? So God, for a year, has been leading the people. But in order to get things, you know, hey, we walked with you. You came out, I brought you out of Egypt. And it's such a beautiful picture of salvation. I bring you out of Egypt. And we spend time, and there's that getting to know each other phase. There's that year in which you're learning and growing, and I'm leading you and everything. But now we need to tighten things up. I need you not just to walk with me, but I need you to start walking with me in a more orderly fashion. I want to see these things starting to happen in your life. And so God gives them trumpets. Now, who's supposed to blow the trumpets? The priests, right? But everybody's supposed to know that they're already getting ready to move. The word's already gone out. Hey, the Lord's getting, he's moving, he's all of these things. The trumpet is the final thing after you're ready. We're already ready. We've already been paying attention. And now this is the command to begin to go, right? So in each of these things that happen, there's a different sound. There's supposed to be when both trumpets go, you know that it's to do this. When one trumpet blows and it blows in this way, it's to summon the leaders. When it blows this way, it's an alarm. When you have this and you're going to war, it's going to sound like this. So what this will be for Lowell. I don't know if anybody else served in the military here, but in everything that God does, he makes sure that there's a distinction. So I'm going to play this and... All right. Anybody who's in the military knows exactly what comes next, right? That is played before morning colors, and that is played before evening colors. And then now each of those is different. Morning colors is one song. Evening colors is a different song. Each one is different. And yet at the end of each of them, they have another thing which lets you know this is done. You can now return to different things. All right, so there we go. That's your little, if you're somewhere and you hear those sounds, you know that it's morning colors is about to start if it's in the morning. And if you're around dusk and it's the sun is setting and you suddenly hear that, da-na, da-na, they're about to do evening colors, you should stand and look to the flag. And then afterwards, that the blast at the end lets you know that you can go back on with your duties. So the Lord has set, even in that, he set all of these things so that the people can go, they can go out their business, they know exactly what's coming, right? But with this is, I guess, kind of the application for us tonight is the priest is the one who's supposed to go and do it. Now there's two priests, there's two horns because there's only two priests because Nadab and Abihu are already dead. The sons of Aaron, you only have two of them left. The high priest isn't the one doing it. It's going to be the other sons who are going to be blowing the horns. Aaron won't be doing it, but his sons will. As more and more Levites of the Aaronic tribe come, they end up making more and more trumpets. Later on, there's quite a few more. And you know, even in what we looked at earlier in the book of Numbers, God has made distinctions in the tribe of Levi. You're going to handle this element. You're going to handle this element. Aaron, you and your sons, you're the only ones who can be the high priest and handle these things. All the rest of the Levites, even though you're Levites, you alone are going to do this. The Kohathites, everybody's going to do their own thing and handle different things in the tabernacle. But everybody is supposed to be paying attention to the cloud and the pillar, right? The purpose of the trumpet, it's the sound that those things for battle, for coming together to getting ready to leave, or to bring the congregation together, or to break camp to where everybody can go back. So in those, you know, and this is kind of the thing is, the priest takes the silver trumpet and he proclaims and projects out to the people. The priest who hears from the Lord takes that and through the silver trumpet of redemption then projects that out to the body to get them ready. Right? But it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody in the camp. Right? We're all supposed to be spending time with the Lord. We're all supposed to be looking. We're all supposed to be watching. What's the cloud doing? What's what's the fire doing? Where are things at? What's the status? You know, so each and every one of us individually should be spending time, you know, not just listening to, not just waiting on the priest to come and to proclaim, right? So everybody in this room should be, we all have an opportunity to go and focus on the Lord. We all should be doing that so that when the Lord is moving, when the Lord is directing, we're not unaware. We know exactly what's going on. In that, though, the Lord then speaks through the priest, and he is giving the directive of, hey, we are moving this direction. We are doing these things corporately. We are whatever. You know, so there's in that, God is giving provision with the trumpets, because sometimes it's life happens. It's not easy to get everybody up and going. It's not easy to be on the same path. Life occurs. You're distracted. You're discouraged. Maybe you're in sin, whatever. And you're missing how the Lord is moving. But he's given to us those people who then sound the trumpet to bring us back in, to get us back and moving together corporately. You know, and that's actually something that we need, because we're all different. Again, he's given some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers, some to be evangelists. You know, everybody has different things, and we're all going our different ways. We all have our different lives. We're all moving around in camp. And suddenly it's like, oh, the Lord's moving. Hey, you know what? We need to direct and let everybody know the Lord is moving. Here's this. Let's get everything going and get ready. And then with the sound of the trumpet, we all move in unison, moving in that direction. So, you know, what's funny is this, is you have chapter 9, you have the Passover. Verse 15 to 23, you address how the Lord moves the people and moves the congregation. Chapter 10, 1 through 10, he talks about the trumpets and the purposes of those, right? So what do you think is going to happen in verses 11 and on? Because the people are getting ready to move. What do you think is going to happen? What should you see? You should see the trumpet, right? So verse 11, now in the second year, in the second month, on the 20th of the month, the cloud was lifted from above the tabernacle of the testimony, and the sons of Israel set out on their journeys from the wilderness of Sinai. And the cloud settled in the wilderness of Paran. So they moved. They don't even talk about the trumpets. I was so excited. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna blow the trumpet. Because they already knew. They're doing it. The Lord did it. Everything. It's, you know, so in that, he deals with it. He teaches. He goes over, hey, make sure you make the trumpets. Here's how it's going to go. Here's all the things. But then it's not even mentioned. You know, so I kind of chuckled at that because the purpose of all of this was, did they do it? Yes, because they made the trumpets. They were supposed to do that. They moved in obedience. Here's all these things, right? So I think for us, you know, I know for me that after going through this, it was just to stop and to spend time and to know that, you know, the Lord has made a lot of distinctions. There are things that are holy set apart to him. There are things that are, you know, that he uses that are of, you know, and that's the gold, the bronze, the judgment and the purification, the silver, the redemption and the atonement, and that's at the level of man and all of those. And that that we need to be aware that he has set that out. And we need to have those things and make those distinctions in our own lives. That just as he leads them, that God is always leading. We need to make sure that we're staying in tune with him and what he's doing, how he's moving, how he's leading. And then at the same time, coming together corporately, and that we are, that in that, there's the general call of how we're supposed to move together as a body. All right, and I think that's it. The nice thing is it was 10 verses, so anything that that I missed or that Lowell wants to change, he could address next week. And hopefully it was a blessing. Hopefully just going and looking at the some of the elements of the tabernacle and then just seeing that as the next time that we're coming through. You know, because if you, sorry, I just want to, I forgot to mention this. If you go back to when all of the elders give their offerings in chapter 7, in everything that you see, you see it again of like in like let's say chapter 7 verse 14, that they gave one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense. And they over and over, all of the pans that they give that are made to use for the incense are gold. All of the pans that they do a grain offering are silver. Incense is the prayers lifted up to God, and that is gold. The grain offering is the thing that's of the earth, and it's of silver. And it's just funny, like, and the more that you look at it, how many, you know, what's used to buy back people? Silver, the silver shekel. What's used, you know, what was the payment for Jesus? Silver. And even if you get into the images of Daniel, you know, each of those elements is broken down and they all are different kingdoms, different strengths, different everything else. And then the final thing, in like in Revelation, we have trumpets again. But those, you know, like a couple of the commentaries, like they're going to be silver trumpets. And I was like, I don't think that the angels are going to be using silver trumpets. I think they're going to be blowing their own type of trumpet and they're going to be proclaiming the judgment of God on the earth and all of those things. So it'll be interesting and exciting. And I think that's about it. All right, so we'll close in prayer and that'll be that. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that you've made distinctions, that you, Lord, that in every detail, in everything that you, nothing is wasted, nothing is, everything has a meaning, everything has a purpose. And Lord, help us to be a people who number one, understand that, and number two, that we would be excited to find those things out, that even the smallest detail, that we would seek those things out so that we can see you more clearly, Lord. Thank you for the picture of the tabernacles. Thank you for the depth of all of the things that are in there, for all of the elements that show us your son so clearly, Lord. And help us to be excited for the day that that we truly will be able to tabernacle with you, that it will be God among us. God, because you know, even now we know that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that you dwell within us, but there will come a day where we will see you face to face, that we will be in your presence, and what a glorious day that will be. So Lord, we help us to be faithful. Help us to be watching and waiting, to be spending time to make sure that we know how you're leading and moving us individually. And then help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the call of what you would have for us corporately. And we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for doing that work and forming and fashioning us into that poema, that work of art that you're going to make us into. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on heaven. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.